Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, if you don't know me, Randy Fine. Today we have a special guest, but I'm going to start off with a quote, and then I'll explain. Excuse me. The goal of a spiritual journey is not the completion of the journey, but the full engagement with the path along the way. This means that everything that happens to you along the path is relevant. So, presence is the key. Well, that's a quote by my special guest today, Kelly Sparta. Kelly is a thought alchemist, a transformational shaman and coach who helps individuals on a spiritual path step fully into the power of their authentic selves. Her focus is developing personal power, setting good boundaries, and cultivating self-love makes her the expert in accelerated personal growth. She uses her knowledge of psychology, neuro-linguistic programming, change processes, and more, and combines them with her intuitive skills as a shaman, psychic, medium channel, and healer to bring about significant changes for her clients in record time. And Kelly is also the author of the upcoming book, The Change Seeker's Bible, The Secret to Finding Categorical Happiness Through Personal Growth. And Kelly also specializes in working with people with strong women syndrome. Kelly, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Hi. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Thank you. Well, we are too. We actually have a caller waiting who would love to have a reading. But let's first talk a little bit about, first of all, what is strong women syndrome?
So strong women syndrome is, it's a term that I've made up. But the reason that I made it up is because I see it so often in so many different people. And, you know, there wasn't a term for it. And so I created one just so that people could understand what it was that they were dealing with. And so really what it comes down to is that it's a series of things experienced by women who have grown up in codependent environments. So either, you know, there was a family member who was an addict or someone who was sick or a parent who was a narcissist and didn't give the child enough attention. And so in that environment, what happens is that we develop certain tendencies. And so a woman with strong woman syndrome would have a, they tend to have warrior type personalities, and they tend to not want to ask for help, and they'll martyr themselves before they will ask for anyone else's help. And because, you know, nobody's going to do it as well as they will. And yet, you know, they have these big personalities that are really strong and dominant, and most people would think that they're really super confident, but the actuality of it is that they are deathly afraid of criticism. and they're in fear that people aren't going to love them and that they're going to shun them and cast them out. And there's a fear of being wrong, because it's one of the ways that they create their value is by being right and by doing things for others. And so, you know, with this sense that they're never quite good enough, they also carry this huge well of rage within them. And so they're often on guard to keep themselves from, like, yelling and screaming at people when they get upset. They have anger issues.
I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that, and I'm sure we all know somebody like that. I mean, I was a codependent for many years. I was not an angry person. I was more of a withdrawn kind of person from it. But I can certainly understand how you would put up walls, which I did. I just put them up in a different way. Thanks. But today, we're going to talk about how the spiritual world and the physical worlds coexist. So can you tell us, I mean, are we coexisting but at different vibrations?
That's one way to put it. Yeah, that's probably a really good way to put it. If you want to put it in more scientific terms, it's dimensions that we're living in, but they're all overlapping. And so, you know, some people who have the ability to see can see all of the different dimensions at once, and other people just only see the dimension that they're operating in. But we all actually operate in multiple dimensions, whether we're aware of it or not. And so that's the hard part for most people to get, is that, well, I can't see this other dimension, so how can I possibly be utilizing it? But, you know, that's how the law of attraction works, is through the energetic realm. But most of us just aren't cognizant of how that realm operates. And so, you know, there's this overlapping thing that happens, and we're creating a reality without meaning to.
Okay. Now, you're able to tap into these different realities. And is there, you know, if we're thinking about it in terms of vibration, do you have to – I know one vibration is faster, one vibration is slower. I think that the physical world is a slower vibration. So do you have to sort of meet in the middle with the person on the other side in order to be able to communicate?
Well, that's an interesting question.
something you may not have thought about, huh?
I never thought about it. Let me think about it.
That's okay. We can move on. We can move on.
I don't think that it's a different – I don't think it's a shift in vibration, to be honest. I think it's –
okay.
Much more about a it's literally about, like, plugging in the right phone line, dialing the right number.
Okay.
So it's much more like that for me, where I'm you remember the old style telephone lines where you have to plug in one line and plug in the other, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
And so it's literally just about, like, listening. And it's one of those things where I think a lot of people talk to the other side. They just don't realize they're doing it because they think it's just a voice in their head that they're talking to themselves. In reality, they're talking to some ancestor of theirs or some guide of theirs that's actually talking to them, and just they think it's them talking to themselves in their head.
Right. I mean, I totally believe that they're all around us, and I do talk to my past loved ones just as if they're here, and I've actually had them connect with me, so that's pretty interesting. So as a medium, how do you experience these spirits?
Well, to me, they're just like anybody else. They're just not in physical form. So, you know, when a spirit is coming to talk to the physical world, they actually come into our energetic realm. And so they're crossing over the divide to come and talk to us. And so I don't have to make a shift because they've already done it. Hmm. And so for me, what I'm doing is literally just tapping in to be able to talk to them. But it's as though I'm talking to them in my imagination rather than in real life. So when a friend of mine passed over a couple years ago, I was trying to grieve for her, and she was sitting on my couch going, "What? I'm right here. It's not like we ever touched anyway." You know, it made it very difficult to grieve for her because she was just sitting there going, "I'm not gone. I'm right here."
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's incredible.
And I have heard, I've actually heard people who have told me, even people that are not even in tune with this kind of phenomenon, have told me that after their loved one passed, they saw him sitting on the sofa or whatever, and they're like, wait a minute, you know, did I just see what I saw? So why do the spirits come to us?
Well, most often they come to us to comfort us, you know, because they know that we're in pain. They're not in pain. They're crossed over. They see things from a very different perspective, and they can still visit us and talk to us. But they know that we're in pain, and we're missing them. And so most often they come to comfort us. Every now and again, it'll be for, you know, other reasons, but it's rare.
Okay. So do they see us the way we are? Do they see us in a physical way?
Well, I mean, they're seeing us, that's an interesting way of putting it. Language is always so interesting when you're talking in an energetic world because we don't often have the vocabulary.
Right.
They're going to see us very similarly to the way that we would have seen them in real life, mostly because they're operating on the realm of thought forms, and we very clearly hold our own image in our thought form. And so unless we see ourselves very differently in our heads than we exist in our physical bodies, then they will see us the way we are in their physical body.
Hmm. Okay.
So,
but we don't,
and,
but
you know,
we see them, if we see them, we see them more in an energetic way, right?
Yeah. Well, when we see them, it depends upon the spirit. Some spirits are very good at manifesting and can actually appear physically to our eyesight. But they have to have been gone for a while and been sitting on the physical plane and not crossed over in order to do that. That's a skill they acquire and an ability to wield energy. The movie Ghost wasn't actually that wrong. It wasn't off by a lot.
But now when you talk about that, you're talking about earthbound people that are in between life and crossing over to that next dimension, right? They're stuck kind of in the middle.
Yeah, they decided not to step through into the light for some reason, either because they didn't realize they were dead, which is often the case. I have another friend of mine who's a shaman, and he and I both have reflected back and forth going, you know, we often run into these people and we go, you know you're dead, right? And the answer is almost always the same. Wow, that would explain so much. And so you go, ah, yes, okay. Would you like to cross over now? And they go, yes. And so you open a portal for them, and they go. So the vast majority of the people that we come across in that state are people who just didn't realize they were dead. And then there are people who decided to stay for different reasons, either because they wanted to, they were concerned for a family member who was not dealing with the transition, or, you know, they were protecting someone, or, you know, they had unfinished business. So, you know, and then those can get stuck because they lose track of time, and then they lose track of what they stayed for.
It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. Yeah. And I've read a lot about ghosts. And what I've learned is that they're really around us a lot when we go, especially when we go into places like antique stores and consignment shops and things like that, where people are attached to their things, that they're actually walking all around amidst us. Is that right?
Yeah, I bought a coat from Goodwill once, and it came with the spirit of the woman who had passed. And she just yammered at me forever. She was like, yeah, 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 yeah. I was like, you feel like I'm talking to somebody else, and I can't listen to you and them at the same time. They're like, she's like, well, they can't hear me. I'm like, but I can hear both of you, and you're messing with my head. You got to stop this.
Wow. Did you help her cross over, or she just didn't want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I did. I helped her cross over. I just, I was very early in my process at the time, and I didn't realize the situation and how it worked. So I did a little bit of research and figured out that she probably didn't realize and needed some help. So I did eventually help her cross over, but there were a couple of weeks in there while I was doing my research very early where she was just talking at me nonstop because I was the only person who could hear her.
That's incredible. You know, when I love antiques and everything, but when I go to those stores, I actually have to say a prayer and, like, you know, pull in my energy and everything so nothing attaches to me, because I've brought home all kinds of stuff with me. Not that I can hear or see it, but I feel the draining of my energy. And so I have to be really careful when I go in these places to just, you know. And I think actually you've explained to me to pull in my energy within 18 inches of my body so that I don't, you know, that other things can't enter that. Well, we have a caller waiting. We have a caller waiting, and let me let her talk to you, and maybe you can help her out. Okay, caller, are you there? Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hello. Okay,
yes,
great. We're connected.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Do you have a speaker on or anything like that?
No.
Okay, perfect. All right. What is your name?
Alcina.
Alcina, okay. Kelly, this is Alcina.
Hi. What's your question? I'm actually wondering about, I'm interested in a person right now, and I'm wondering what you can pick up from that situation.
Okay, so, okay, let me just tune in. So there's a lot of complication going on in this connection. I'm seeing another person in addition to the person you're interested involved. So it looks from my end of things like the other, like the person you're interested in is either married or in a committed relationship, or at least emotionally feels as though they are. You got all kinds of hooks going out there. So energetically, what happens when we get obsessed with somebody, when we get really attached to them, is we literally put energetic hooks into the other person, trying to pull them in, trying to manipulate them into responding the way that we want. And the challenge with that is that it actually works against us, because people can feel when they're being... I'm sorry?
I'm not obsessed with him. I have another person in my life right now. He's kind of, he played that whole, like, mixed signals kind of thing. And I'm wondering, like,
is he
really interested or what?
Can you
hear me?
Say that again? Well, you're a little muffled.
He gave me, like, a lot of mixed signals.
Yeah, that's because he's really sort of, I would not, the impression I'm getting is that he's really not that interested.
Okay.
So that's the impression that I'm getting, is that your interest is much more focused than his interest. I'm just getting the impression he's really not interested.
Okay.
His interests are elsewhere, is what I'm saying.
Does that help you? Does that help you understand? I know that's not great news. But, you know,
because there's certain things that he does, and I'm like, what is kind of, well, he is younger than me, too, and I know for sure that he isn't married, so, yeah.
Well, as I said, there's a commitment, an emotional commitment that's happening, and it often will show up if someone's married, but it's also if they're emotionally committed to somebody else. So it could be that there was somebody that he was in love with in the past that he hasn't gotten over and is still committed to, or whatever. But there's an emotional connection with someone other than you. It could be somebody from his past. It could be somebody he's attached to going out with now. It's the emotional commitment there is. There's a way in which we pledge ourselves energetically to another person when we are really committed to being with them. And that's the energetic signature that I'm seeing in his field. And so from the way I'm seeing it, it's hard for me to tell
because it's very present to him, but it's hard for me to tell whether it's very present to him now, but it was something that started in the past, or you know, it's there is an energetic
I think right now
there.
He's not in a relationship.
Yeah, then he's not over his other one. Or there was one even before that caused the other one to break up. You know, I mean, he is energetically committed to somebody else, is what I'm saying. He is not available.
Okay.
Sometimes if you get these readings, it sort of sinks in. You know, you kind of think about it. You can play this show because this show will be recorded. You can think about it, and sometimes you don't hear exactly everything.
No, I understand. Like, answers. He's not interested.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for calling. Our show time is really limited, so we're going to move along. But thank you. I really appreciate you calling in. Okay. Anyway, Kelly.
Yes.
Okay.
So
now
I
want
to go back to what you had said earlier, if that's okay just for a second, because you had said something about getting attachments and bringing people home and stuff like that.
Okay.
And one of the things that I wanted to give you and the listeners as a hint is that one of the ways that I – because you can't constantly monitor your field. It's very difficult. So the thing that I do at my house is I actually have a field that I set up at my doorway. Doorways are very easy to set up transition points because they're literally thresholds, and so they hold that energy anyway. And so at the front door to my house, I actually have a sieve that I've set up in my doorway that – when I walk through it, it only allows that which is me to come through. So it automatically pops off any attachments that I might have acquired in the process.
That's great.
So
that's a really good idea. And
you
set that up, you just visualize it, or you speak it,
or
whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of things that I've set at my door, so you can actually set little if you anchor it into a physical thing, then that helps to hold the energy. So, you know, you can tack something over the door itself or, you know, put something at the floor on either side. But, you know, you put the intention of that into those things, and then that holds the space for you.
I would imagine that that's imperative to your sanity. Because, because you'd be bringing all kinds of things into your home, right?
Yeah, well, and you know, doing work from home, I often have to smudge my house anyway. So, because I'm constantly connecting into people that you know may or may not have attachments.
Right.
So, I actually have a friend of mine who does exorcisms and cleaning of attachments. And when I hit someone in my process of doing readings for people that just has too many for me to deal with, I tell them to call him and get him to clean them up before they come back and do a scan with
the
me.
The cleaner.
Otherwise I get slimed. And, you know, it's just not, though I have to clean my house, I have to clean my house myself, and it's a lot of work.
Right.
So
do you use sage and that kind of stuff? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I do, yeah, I do. I use sage a lot in my house, and I also use toning. I do a lot of toning work in my shamanic practice. So I do a lot of singing to clear the space.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, so, all right. Now let's talk a little bit first of all, a lot of people think that their religion or their faith is going to matter in the journey of their soul. How do you see that?
Well, I think that what we believe is what we create. And so if you believe it, then you'll make that true. And so the best example of that I can give you, and I love referring people to modern-day movies rather than spiritual practices because it's much easier to consume. What Dreams May Come is a good example of how that functions. You know, our beliefs create our reality. From my perspective, looking at it through my eyes, almost every religion in the world has the same core premises. And they're just an overlay of the paradigm on top of that. And so, you know, from my perspective, I look at it and I go, well, yeah, everybody is doing the same thing. They're just doing it from different angles. And it doesn't really matter which angle you come at it from, you're still finding a way to a spiritual practice. And you're still finding a higher purpose.
Right. Now, what about, you hear certain people in the Christian faith talking about, you know, needing to be saved in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. That kind of thing just baffles me.
Oh, you're going to get me started on a rant.
Okay, don't rant.
I have a theory, because you have to remember that Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was a Gnostic. He started out as a Jew and became a Gnostic. And if you look through the Gnostic scriptures, you don't see that there's a path, or, you know, that you have to be saved or any of this. This is something that was created by the church in order to bring people in to for them to tithe their money and so on. And it was a way to control the masses. And so, you know, the needing to be saved thing is simply a matter of choosing to accept spirituality into your life, and for Christians, it's in the form of accepting Christ as your Savior. And, you know, I think Christ would be kind of pissed off about it personally, but that's just my opinion. I mean, I truly think that he would come in like he did with the moneylenders and just topple the entire Christian church right now, because so much of what it does is not in alignment with his teachings.
Well, to me, the spiritual world is love. And I don't believe that it has all these rules attached to it. So, that's boiling it down to the simplest form is just basically,
yeah,
I just think.
Agree with you.
Yeah.
That was Christ's teaching. Love everyone, period. End of conversation.
Right. God loves us. We should love them. I mean, you know, we love him. We love everybody. It's just all about love. That's really what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Okay. I have another question. Okay. Now, when we pass, do we take our personalities with us?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, I remember doing a scan for a man who was trying to talk to his grandmother, and his grandmother was coming through, and I said, well, I've got this bizarre sort of back-and-forth image that's coming through, and you had talked about how do people appear. And what was happening as she came through was, she was flipping back and forth between this blonde bombshell and this older woman with a severe bun in dark, dark hair, right? And I was like, what is this? And I'm just telling him what I'm seeing, and he's like, oh, yeah, when she was young, she was hot. She was smoking, and she was blonde, and she had all this beautiful hair, and when she got older, she was really unhappy because her hair started falling out, and she was just... She had loved her hair so much. And I said, well, she's telling you by flipping this image back and forth that she's coming through to show me the image that you remember of her, but she's telling me that she's living the image of the blonde bombshell now. And so, you know, that's the thing, is that we get that. And so, you know, it's the personalities don't change. There's actually my shaman friend that I talk to all the time, his shaman, who was a Native American shaman, told him that just because they're dead, don't make them smart. And I was like, yeah, that's true too. You know?
Right.
They have a different perspective,
okay,
but they're the same people.
Right. They're the same people. But, okay, so that brings me to my next question. And I know that we're here to do a lot of work, and I know that the work that we do in the physical world propels us to a higher level in the spiritual world. So can you explain a little bit about the levels and about the purpose for really doing the work here?
Actually, I'm going to challenge your assumption.
Okay.
I don't believe that we're here to do work.
Okay.
I believe that, because if you think about it, if we are all part of the same entity, and that entity is everything, then there's no reason for it to have to work. It is everything already, right? So what does it need to do? So, you know, many years ago, I had this sort of aha moment going, okay, if we already are everything, what is the purpose for splitting into pieces? And the splitting into pieces is literally about getting to know ourselves. And so the work, quote unquote, that we're doing is literally about really getting to know who we are and understand ourselves better and to understand each other better and to find, you know, to discover who we are in different situations. And the only way to do that is to split into a bunch of pieces and experience a bunch of different situations. And the conglomeration of the whole creates the identity of the whole. And so I really think that we're just in a massive existential crisis of universal beingness.
That's a really interesting perspective. So when you say splitting into all these different pieces, are you referring to negativity and adversity?
No, I'm actually referring to you and me and another person and the chair and the table and the rug and
okay.
You know, all these different pieces.
Okay.
So,
but,
you know,
but there is
so
no negativity and
adversity.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there. So, and the negativity and adversity piece, there are different levels there. And so, you know, there's a level of duality, which is the level that we exist on here, which is, you know, I am me and you are you and we are separate. And that's there are masculine and feminine forces at play in this duality. The masculine forces are what allow us to be individuals and to create movement and structure within the space-time energy, right? The feminine forces are what remind us that we are all one. And that we are in union with each other. And so this is the level of duality where good and evil exist, where positive and negative exist, where light and dark exist. And so the next level up from that is the level just of experience. And that level of experience ceases to put the judgment of duality on the experience. And so for instance, when you experience a trauma, you can feel victimized by it or not. You can just experience a trauma, right? And so the level of experience would strip away the judgments and just have the experience. And so then it no longer becomes good or evil, things just are.
Right. Isn't that
so,
something
you know,
that we learn as we get older and we grow and we experience? So the more we experience, the more we're able or we have the ability to accept our experiences. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And we get that with age, but we also get that with wisdom. Because I've met some very old people who are still black and white thinkers.
Me too.
So it's age does not guarantee it. That's what I'm saying. So
right.
As we learn to come to acceptance, and you're right, acceptance is the key to that, we step into the experience level of energetics.
Right. Now, do you think that there is negativity and adversity on the other side?
Well, people take with them what they take with them. So we have this perception that the physical reality and the energetic reality are in different spaces and that they're different realities. And to a certain extent they are, but in a lot of ways they're not. You know, whatever energetic plane you are on in terms of your personal vibration and what your belief structures are and how you saw the world and that sort of thing, they'll be impacted by the change in perspective that you get when you cross over. Because then you'll be able to see how things came into being and what people's intentions actually were. And, you know, there's a lot more information that you can glean out of things. And that may change your beliefs at the time. So to that extent, yes, you get an upgrade because you get a broader understanding of things. But if your thought process is still a function of your belief that other people's intentions matter and that anything matters other than how you experience things, then you're still going to be stuck in that energetic. Does that make sense?
It does. So then my question would be, why is there a veil when we're here that we can't see it?
Because it's so much easier not to bring our crap in. It gives us the chance to start over. and it lets us start over, you know. I mean, think about it. I mean, how many times have you started over in your life?
So many.
Because most of us are living multiple lifetimes in this lifetime. And, you know, we start over and we start over and we recreate ourselves and we recreate ourselves, but we're still bringing all that baggage forward from our past.
Okay.
And, you know, part of it is wisdom, but part of it is baggage. And so, you know, dying and coming back gives us the opportunity to start fresh and maybe create a new way of being.
Wow. Fantastic. I am so sorry to say that we're running out of time. I normally have about a half an hour, and I can push to 12:45, but we're getting close. So I want to thank you so much for being on this show and presenting this great information. I'm sure that my listeners are gaining a lot from it. And I want to tell everybody again, my guest's name is Kelly Sparta, but it's K-E-L-L-E-S-P-A-R-T-A. And her website is kellysparta.com. So anything that you want to know about Kelly, including her new upcoming book, The Change Seeker's Bible, The Secret to Finding Categorical Through Personal Growth. Wait, is that what it is? Finding
happiness.
Happiness through personal growth. My printer cut it off. Okay. And when is that? When are you planning to release that book?
Oh, I'm hoping to have it out in the spring of next year.
Okay. So everybody can just come to your website. I'm sure that you will post that when the book is ready to be released.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So for everybody listening, if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, you can please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always R-A-N-D-I, just like Kelly is K-E-L-L-E. I'm R-A-N-D-I, randygfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me, my page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again, Kelly, and thanks again to my listeners for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.